You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Karsibayev.
On this episode, I host Eric Burton, who is the Director of IT Procurement and Vendor Management at Envision Healthcare, based in Nashville, Tennessee. Eric has extensive experience in technology and vendor management, working across multiple industries. He has built from the ground up global vendor management organizations at multiple industry-leading organizations. Eric has passion for consolidation, delivering millions of dollars in savings, and providing the best-in-breed IT services. Please welcome Eric Burton.
Eric Burton, I am the Director of IT Procurement and Vendor Management Office for Envision Healthcare.
Awesome, Eric. Well, thanks so much for finding time to join us today on the Ivy Podcast. I really appreciate it. Can you tell us a little bit more about Envision and if you could expand a little bit further on your role within the organization?
So my role in the organization, I am, as the director of the vendor management office, we handle all of the IT vendor relationships and contracts for Envision Healthcare, from the contract negotiations to the procure to pay. Prior to me coming to Envision, I worked for another company in a similar role. Envision did not have this role, and they felt a need to develop this department and start this role. And I've been here a year, so it's been real good. We've made a lot of organizational changes. We've saved a lot of money, and we've organized our business and our vendor relationships in a better way. So it's been a pretty good year. Now with COVID, things changed a little bit, but we're still working through that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pretty sure a lot of things have changed through the last couple of months that we all have experienced. So further a little bit on that topic, with so many companies going through, you know, difficult times, furloughs, you know, layoffs, all other unfortunate events, what has worked well for you when it comes to employee motivation and keeping, you know, those performance levels up during these times?
Yeah, it's been a very difficult situation. We've had, like a lot of other companies, Envision's had its share of furloughs and layoffs. So it's for those people that are left, you know, it's hard because you've lost colleagues. I'll say it like there's a little bit of survivor's guilt, but it's also the additional workload. I am a firm believer in one-on-ones, and even pre-COVID, I've done that for years. I've had some pretty good mentors in my time, and I've found that then having individual one-on-ones with people, setting time aside to go over workloads, hear about, you know, personal struggles or work struggles, really helps people out. I know it does me. So I make sure that I schedule those one-on-ones, and I make sure I never cancel them. And they are number one priority. Now, through COVID, usually I do one-on-ones on a monthly basis, but since we're all working remotely and since this COVID crisis, I've made it a weekly basis, and sometimes we just talk, you know, how people are dealing with being isolated or at home, or talked about their loved ones, you know, their health and things of that nature, and how they're dealing with it, sharing stories of binging Netflix or dreaming about this being over and going on vacation. So it's been hard, but those one-on-ones are extremely helpful. I'm, excuse me, also a firm believer in, you know, making people, you know, it's not just a catchphrase that, you know, our team does make a difference within the company. We are saving money. We are driving the company forward. And I want people to know that they have a say, and that they are making a difference, and then demonstrating to them, you know, how they are making a difference, either through lean processes or outright contract negotiations and cost savings, then demonstrating that through documentation and showing them what part they played in that. So that keeps them motivated. We certainly, now's not the time to talk about merit raises or financials because it is such a difficult time, but the one-on-one topics we have and making them feel empowered has kept them motivated through this, although it's a difficult time.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, absolutely. I recently read a study by McKinsey and also a publication by Forbes that approximately 150 million professionals in U.S. Have left or in the process of leaving stable corporate jobs for independent consulting. And knowledge-intensive industries such as IT are amongst the fastest-growing segments of that gig economy that's been growing. I'm curious to get your take on that trend and how do you think this will affect the current healthcare workforce, especially, you know, you deal with a lot of vendors. Just share your thoughts on that trend.
Yeah, I've had, you know, from an Envision perspective, we've actually seen the opposite. We've seen a lot of people that have been contractors and consultants pushing for becoming full-time FTEs. I've talked to a lot of people in the industry and colleagues from other places that I've worked, and I've actually seen the opposite trend where people are looking for full-time employment. I am looking to come on board. So I haven't really seen the trend, and I have colleagues, like I said, from previous jobs that have lost their jobs and they're not going into the consulting work. And I've actually recommended other companies that they can contract for, and they haven't wanted that help. They've wanted to look for full-time jobs. So I haven't really seen that trend or heard of that trend in the industry.
Right, right. Absolutely. I mean, it really also depends on segments on different, you know, sectors. So it's in some areas it's definitely growing, in some it's quite opposite. So that's very interesting. When it comes to innovation, especially during the current times where it's, you know, may not necessarily be a priority for a lot of, you know, the leaders, or because, you know, rightfully so, a lot of focus is on kind of stability and the safety and so forth. But I'm curious, from your standpoint, what strategies or methodologies that you found, you know, to be useful, especially during current times, to implement the, you know, the whole innovative approach to solving problems for whatever products and services that you offer? What has worked well for you during this period so far?
Well, I'll go back to one of the previous statements I made. It's empowering your people and meaning it. One of the things that I always emphasize is you have the power to make change. And now with smaller staffs and fewer people doing the work and the workload is much heavier since this COVID crisis started. So the thing I challenge the team on when we have our team meetings is how can we innovate? How can we improve a process? And I challenge them to come with that. And I tell them, you know, not every idea is a great idea, you know, but we want to hear all ideas. I remember when I started in my IT career, I had I was young, and as a lot of young people, were full of great ideas. And I was talking, I worked for a cable company, and I was talking to one of the vice presidents, and I thought I had the best idea in the world. And he stopped me for a minute, and he says, you know, not all ideas are great ideas. He says, but I listen to all of them. He said, because you never know when there is a good idea and we need to implement it. So I took that both ways, that maybe my idea wasn't the greatest idea, but he took the time to listen to it. And I tell people that, I said, there's always a better way to do something. We need to become more efficient. We need to automate wherever possible. We need to improve the process. And And then once it's approved, we need to improve it again. And I'm always challenging people to do that and bring up those ideas no matter what. And we'll have an honest conversation whether it's a good idea. Maybe sometimes it is a good idea, but we don't have the financial means to do it, or it's not the right time to do it. But I've told people that if it, maybe, you know, they've brought something up, it's an innovative, creative way to do something differently. And I say, that's a great idea. We can't implement it now, but bring it up in 3 months or 6 months. So always challenging people, always brainstorming. When people come to us with problems, I always ask them, how can we automate that? How can we make that process better? How can we lean it out? You know, because there's cost savings. So there's cost savings in how we do things, and there's cost savings with our providers and our partners.
Right. I love that quote that you just mentioned. You know, not all ideas are great, but I listen to all of them. And it's, you know, it resonates, because at the end of the day, like you said, there's no such thing as a bad idea. It's just the whole process of coming up with these different solutions.
One of the things I like to do with the team, I call it my escape room. If we have a major problem, and I did this right before COVID, we all went down to a remote location. We met offsite. I challenged them with what I thought was one of our biggest problems, and I called it escape room. I said, "You guys can come out when you give me a resolution, right?" And they enjoyed that, and I made it fun, but you know, it was like a puzzle and a challenge. And I said, you know, don't worry about money, don't worry about time and effort, but we need this problem fixed. And they worked on it. We were off site for a couple of days, but I love that brainstorming, the way we brainstormed through it and getting them away from their normal workspace and getting them away from their normal job to resolve a particular problem. And I try to do that when we have major issues and major problems and come up with a solution. And the team actually did, and we saved millions of dollars by resolving that particular issue. So mm-hmm. It's not only fun and motivating, but it solves real business problems.
For sure. And I'm pretty sure it was, you know, a great team building exercise as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you're not part of a major healthcare organization, you know, working with a lot of different vendors, curious to get your take on what healthcare trends do you foresee will come out as a result of current times?
And the first one's telemedicine. I mean, we've seen that in our business, and you know, I've seen it in my personal life. That I think telemedicine is here to stay. And it's something that we as a company immediately invested in as this pandemic hit, and we continue to invest in that. The other area I would say is robotic process automation. We're looking to automate our bill paying area, revenue cycle management. So I think those two areas within healthcare are the two biggest areas that we'll see the growth. I think a lot of things will come out of this pandemic and the way, you know, security, office configurations, and other things that we'll get involved in. But the two most critical things that we're looking at as a company, and I think others are too, are RPA and telemedicine.
I think you're spot on, because I recently hosted two CEOs of major hospital networks on a virtual executive roundtable, and we spent, you know, good portion of that webinar talking about the trends and, you know, telehealth, e-health, telemedicine. Those, you know, technologies are definitely, you know, they've been around, but we've seen quite a significant trend in adopting such technologies. And I think, you know, the current times really force us to do so, and that's very exciting in terms of being able to, you know, leverage such technology to, you know, to help the patients and so forth. So that's, you know, thank you for sharing that. As far as, you know, talent acquisition and hiring processes in place, I'm curious to get your take on when it comes to hiring at Envision for those candidates, you know, even for your teams, when they interview with you, tell us a little bit more about the interview process. What does that look like? Do you get creative? Do you keep them pretty standard? And what do you look for in some of the responses?
I like to be a little creative with my interviews during normal times. So, in a normal situation, if we were doing a typical, you do your typical over the phone interview, but then you have an in-person office interview. When we were in those times, what I normally do is during the interview process, I would ask the candidate if they want to go for a walk, you know, and take them outside and walk and talk as we go. And I always find it refreshing and interesting how much people open up when you get them outside of an office space and you're just walking and talking. It changes the whole dynamic of the interview and the relationship. And people have a tendency to open up more. I worked for a major corporation before coming to Envision, but we were in a very small town. And it was funny. One time I was interviewing a candidate that had come from Montreal, and they came down to our location, very small town, Fortune 500 company. And he asked me, "What do you do at night?" And I kind of started this process. I said, "Let's go outside. Let me show you what I do." And I took him outside this company I worked for was out in the middle of nowhere. And I pointed to the valley. You could see the whole valley in a very, very small town of about 10,000 people with a corporate headquarters for this Fortune 500 company. I say, "You know what I do at night? I go home and sit out on my back porch and enjoy the outdoors and be with my family." I said, "That's about it." And it was kind of funny. He says, "There are no clubs down here. Where's your closest Starbucks?" And I laughed at him and I said, "You know, if you're going to come work here, you know, part of it is embracing that lifestyle." And he turned out he wasn't a good fit for our company where other people could be. Now, at Envision, I'm in Nashville, so I would do a similar thing. You know, Nashville is a great town. It's got a lot of activity. And if people are looking for, you know, things to do outside work, I would take them outside and talk about their interests and talk about what Nashville has to offer, along with what Envision has to offer as a great company. So that's how I do things a little differently. I try not to do interviews by committee. I try to have conversations and find out what the person's like and get I assume, you know, I have the conversation about their skill set and they're not going to be there if they didn't have the skill set, but I want to get to know them as a person and get to know what their work ethic is and what drives them in life and find out more. So that's how I change the interview process maybe than a few other people do. Now, during COVID, it's a little different. If we're interviewing people, it's a Zoom call, right? It's finding out what they look like over the camera or where they set up their office and then see what they have in their background and have that conversation about what's in their background or where they set their office at and how they're dealing with the isolation during this time period, whether they worked at home before or if working remotely is new to them. So that's how I change things up a little bit.
Yeah, very, you know, simple yet very effective method.
Yes, it is.
What are the most in-demand skill sets and those are the hardest to find currently in your guys' industry? And I'm curious to hear what strategies do you deploy to help, you know, you guys attract the top talent?
I think one of the areas that we struggle in, it's a typical, you know, I've been in IT for about 30 years now, but I think one of the hardest things that we find in the IT world is, you know, businesses are looking to gather business intelligence. We're looking to gather that data and then sift through that. But I think one of the skills that most businesses are looking for is then how do you interpret that data? So we're looking for people that not only can gather that data, that using technology and using their skill set, but then can communicate to business leaders on then what do we do with that data. And I think that is one of the most sought after skill sets that we're looking for is people that can work both in the business world and the IT world, because the industry's changed. We're not hiring people that are just siloed or have one talent. I think that era of IT has passed us by, where you just have one skill set. You need to have the business sense and be able to communicate to our business leaders how to convert IT speak and be able to have the knowledge on how to read the data yourself. So I think that's one of the biggest things that we're looking for. So when we interview people, we're looking for people. We're not looking for people that just have that IT skill set. We're looking that they have both the IT skill set and a business skill set also.
Right, absolutely. And Eric, last but not least, curious, what are you currently reading and what is one book that you always recommend to others and why?
Well, right. That's a good question. Currently reading, nothing in the business world. The Hunger Games book just came out. Maybe that is a business book.
to a certain extent, you can definitely make it a business book.
It's the prequel to the Hunger Games series. My daughter and I have a 16-year-old daughter, and my boys are also interested in that. So we read that. We all read that and took turns reading that and didn't give away the plot. So that's the most recent book that I've read. I haven't read any business books lately. A business book I do like, and it's an ancient book actually, but it had its trend a few years ago, was Art of War. I don't subscribe to everything in that, but it has a lot of reminders in there that I pick and choose from, and it helps me out. I always recommend that book. You know, there are some things that I find helpful. The laying plan section, by thinking and assessing and comparing points and calculating victories, whether it's in a negotiation with a vendor or an interview or working as a team, and how to, maneuvering your team, or as in the book, it's maneuvering your army. How do we go through changing environments? Who would have thought we'd be where we're at now in this COVID situation? Nobody obviously planned for that, and nobody planned for the economic and the impact and the personal impact on people and moving everyone remote. So you really have to think on a daily basis, how you're going to deal with those situations. And I think thinking in that, having that methodology or thinking in that, those in that mode helps you do that, on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, especially as we deal with this crisis.
Absolutely. I love it. Thanks for sharing that. And Eric, I know you're very busy. Thanks so much for finding time to talk to us today. A lot of great insights and examples that you shared with us. I appreciate your time and look forward to staying in touch with you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate you doing this with me. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.